You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, we have a returning friend and guest, Anelia Benz, who's joining us from Mexico. She's in Cancun, so we're very fortunate to be able to get a good line through to her today. For those who don't know, in January of 2010, Anelia received a request from Source to go public. And so the first thing she did was to establish an information source at www.ascension101.com. Thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or more, have been deeply moved and triggered by the paradigm-shifting video first released through Project Avalon, which quickly became an internet sensation. She has continued to work behind the scenes, doing meet and greets with groups of people, traveling to do seminars, and with other light workers and public figures to raise the vibration of the planet. She's also in the process of establishing a global ascension center, and the first of these centers, which are envisioned kind of like a hub that will be located in many different places, will be in the Sacramento, Northern California area. So she has a unique perspective, having entered our density directly outside the usual incarnational processes, to assist in the raising of the collective vibration, and I think she's doing a great job of it. So let's welcome Anelia to the show now. Hi, Anelia, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, good, good. Well, it's always fun to talk to you. It's more fun to see you, but, you know, I don't have Sia Vision on my computer, so...
Right.
So I'll just have to picture you there in your room there in Cancun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool down here. The energy is quite different to the United States at the moment.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, especially being in the coast, it's much cleaner, much less dense.
Uh-huh.
Just coming out of California, I realized there's a huge bombardment down there, or up there, I should say, that's quite heavy on anybody who's in any way sensitive. And, yeah, there's something actually that I thought we might talk about, if that's okay. There's a lot of individuals known to me who are highly sensitive individuals and very aware, very awake, enlightened people who
yeah.
are going through a very difficult period right now with regards to wanting to leave the planet, not necessarily them, but their physical bodies.
Yeah.
And I thought we could talk about it because I know you, Lance, are going through something similar. And
yes.
you being one of those people.
Yes,
and,
I definitely am.
Yeah. And I thought it's actually quite important for us to make a distinction of whether it's the person, the soul, or whether it's the physical body. Because what I've seen up to now, it has been the physical body. When the person breaks it down and really looks at it, it's actually the physical body, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Because the body has an entirely different source, and it has its own agenda as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I'll call them the physical elemental body, because really the physical body is necessary for us to be a human being, but
right.
the soul continues on even after the physical body's death, right?
Right,
so the
right.
soul really doesn't need a physical body to live. But the physical body, as an elemental, an earth, physical expression of divine source made out of elemental elements from the planet,
uh-huh.
it really has its own intelligence, its own beingness. That's why, for example, the body can stay alive even after the soul has left by artificial means, right? When the people who are put into hospitals and plugged in and stuff, they can actually keep the body, physical elemental body, alive. But of course, if the soul's gone, and the body can never reactivate or reanimate by itself again.
Right.
But yeah. It's. How about you, Lance? What is it, do you think it's your physical body or your soul being?
Well, it feels more like the physical body. As you said, there's a density here in California, and I'm on in a high energy vortex, and so the energies that come up through California kind of coalesce in this area, but of course I can't pinpoint any particular thing, but I do know that I'm extremely sensitive to any shift in the energies. There have been a lot of chemtrails being sprayed overhead, and if nothing else, that affects my mood, because my physical body starts to go into an instinctive mode and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know by now that those things are they're going to be there, they will pass. This is all passing, but. Then there's a depression that occurs also, and I seem to move in between manic depressive modes. And so there are certain periods of time when I seem to pick up a collective vibration as well, and I'm not sure if this is because, in part, there was so much pent-up energy about there being at least some sign that mm-hmm. the old paradigms would be collapsing, or that there would be more, freedom on the, that the mainstream media would be less controlled, some information would start to come through. And, of course, it's just the opposite, because we haven't reached the end of the line yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it does appear to be some kind of battle between our shadow side and our light side. And if you want to break that down, you do it much better than I do, the dark T-shirts and the white T-shirts. So, and the dark is here to serve the light. So ultimately, we know this all works out, and this is just a moment in time. But it feels like there's a lot of confusion right now, and a lot of intentional confusion being injected into the collective consciousness.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. If anything, it has been amplified tremendously. Mm. And the wave of disappointment of waking up and there's still chemtrails, there are still wars, there's still media being controlled. The frustration, I think, is being manipulated and also used, that energy of frustration. And it's like, what's the point type thing, right?
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, on the soul level, you asked about that. The soul, of course, is eternal and infinite. So, in theory, it can kick back and, it sit back and observe and watch and the rest of it. But I think there is kind of a soul fatigue that happens mm-hmm. with people who have been working for towards light processes and doing it for so long, and it may be something that's coordinated with the body, that the soul just simply runs out of gas. And when we incarnate, supposedly, those who have come back from the other side claim that we choose the percentage of the soul energy that we want to use to incarnate. So let's say you're going to have a light experience in your incarnation, and so you take 10% of your total soul energy from the other side. Well, what if it turns out to be, you needed 20 or 30? Well, you're a little short, and so, that does happen. We do make miscalculations, and it's conceivable that we could need a little more of our soul energy, but of course, it's also conceivable that we can braid on more of our soul energy, that we can bring in more of our soul energy as mm-hmm. it's needed. And then, of course,
I think that's the key.
What's that?
That bringing in the soul energy, because really the new dimension, the new paradigm starts within us. We become it. You know, it's one of the things that I saw a lot of people were thinking that, you know, the fifth dimension or the new paradigm was something outside of themselves, whether
in time,
somewhere in the future, or whether in a space, okay, the planet's going to shift and we're going to lift up in light bodies and all this type of thing. Or even outside thinking, and I had a part of this too, where I was really hoping that my seeing was wrong and that we would wake up 1st of January, there would be no crime trails, all the wars had ended and all that type of thing, which basically it's outside of ourselves, really, you know?
Right.
And it's really about embodying and being the fifth dimension every second of every day. And that's a huge responsibility for anybody who's awake, yeah?
Yeah.
Because it means having a conscious awareness about the intentions behind our every thought, our every word, everything, you know, our actions. And if we fall down, to immediately pick ourselves up and look at it and not really indulge, you know?
Yeah.
And that's hard because our life has been a whole line of program to kind of suck us into the drama, suck us into the negativity, and into the entertainment, like, of life.
Right.
And then it's like, it's a different kind of perspective, you know, be the fifth dimension. It's like, yeah, and I have found that a lot of individuals, you know, they've worked, especially the ones that have been here lifetime after lifetime, they feel that they've done their job. This was a date that came and went now. And there's also, and this is really interesting, and you should look at this too, there's a knowing that we've done it. Yeah? Because there's a knowing we have achieved this, even though it's not yet reflected in the third physical dimension.
There's
this deep inner knowing. The human collective knows what it wants, and it wants this shift. And we've done it. We've broken that big kind of wall that was trying to stop us or that we had to go through in order to be born, kind of thing, into the other side, right? And there's a deep knowing about that. And as soon as, because we have that deep knowing and our physical bodies know it too, they said, yeah, let's get out of here.
Right. Yeah. Well, now, how does that coordinate with the higher realms, which would be... For us, I guess the next realms would be Gaia Sophia and then the father or the son of the planets. So the son and the mother, Gaia Sophia, are ascending as well, and they're working together or are ascended and are, you know, triggering the shifts and changes that are going on. How does all this coordinate with the different dimensions with their energies?
You know, it's like when people say, you know, you manifest your reality in the physical. Mm-hmm. Often people think that is they manifest a big check or a great job or a soulmate or a beautiful house or a great car, but it's actually all of reality. So it includes the sun, it includes Earth, it includes the universe, and it's just that's a lot larger than we're prepared to be responsible for or able to respond to right now in our present collective level of awareness and evolution. But it's actually a reality that we create as one. You know, we are one collective, we're one being as a collective.
Yes.
And each individual acting within that collective acts and behave according to the decision made by our higher self, which is that human collective, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, the planet is a being, and it's part of us in this kind of reality construct. And she has chosen to move on, and the sun, the mother sun, also has chosen to move on. And they're moving on, and it's like, yeah, at a physical three-dimensional level, because of the physical bodies are so sensitive and have been kind of in a really thick cloud of polluted energy, they're taking in baby steps, because if you flood it with light, it just burns really quickly.
Right.
It can take them out, you know?
Right.
I mean, I wish it had been something really fast, but
I
keep seeing that it was 2.5 generations. Yeah.
Well, is it also true that the Milky Way is a divinely feminine aspect, and then the Andromeda is the male aspect?
You know, I've heard about that. Where did I hear it? I think it was one of the native cultures in Africa that came. I saw a show on TV once when I was a kid, in fact. They talked about this. Yeah, the Milky Way, and they called it because it was like, you know, and they had a very similar name. It was something with the mother. And then they were talking about the father, and that's, you know. Yeah, I've heard about that, but I haven't actually looked at it in that sense, right?
Right.
I haven't looked at it myself in that perspective.
Now, you've been involved with, in the past you have, I think you haven't been doing that as much lately, but in the past you've had some confrontations with the highest of the dark side, and you are associating with people who have had those contacts. What is your sense as a group of where they stand at this moment in terms of their ability to control and move forward with their plans?
It's all about numbers for them right now. So they know they've lost the planet. They know that.
Okay.
Right? And that in 2.5 generations, there won't be a location for them here at all. They know that. But for them, it's numbers now. It's like trying to get as many people here, or souls, you know, in fact, and physical bodies, to stay in the dark density so they can be moved with them to their new location. So it's simply numbers for them. But they know that there's no place for them in Gaia anymore.
Well, that's a good step. Of course, you know, the idea that they have the technology and the ability to affect so many people in a negative way is not a positive force, but as we know, one person can change the whole collective by shifting their vibration.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's also a resistance there, because there's that willingness as a collective to allow for the free will of each individual to be played out, right? And there's so many people playing shadow games right now on the planet that haven't quite finished, and their kind of contract or lifespan hasn't run out yet, that they kind of have to be respected, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that side as well, and there's also the side that there's a couple of other things. One of them, that in linear time, 2.5 generations is a blink. It's like less than a blink. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's so tiny, tiny, tiny that really doesn't really matter. Even if it was 100 generations, it would be so tiny that it wouldn't really matter. But for us here on the planet, it feels really like a long time.
Well,
now, and also the difference between the dynamics that we're moving out of, that paradigm of light, dark duality experience. And we're moving into a duality of light-love paradigm. That also is a tiny, tiny, tiny little change in a galactic or universal level, and a multidimensional level. It's tiny, a tiny change of tune of physical experience. It's really, really tiny. And at a larger sense, there really is no judgment. There is no really a sense of that one is better than the other, as it were, right?
Right.
It's only for those individuals here who are part of that experience and going through the shift that it's absolutely huge, right? It makes a huge difference at the ground level.
Right.
But at a universal level, it's really tiny, tiny.
Right. Right. Now, what about the idea of there being some kind of divine plan that's playing itself out?
The divine plan really is the collective plan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the collective and the planetary council make all these decisions. Well, the planetary council carries out the decisions of each collective on the planet. And the will of the collective is what's carried out. And funnily enough, no free will of any individual is broken on the planet ever. That's one of the amazing things. It's like an orchestrated, everything works perfectly well. It's like one of those things where, you know, a person buys a flight, you know, to go somewhere, and that flight is scheduled to crash. But this person is not supposed to be dying that day. All of a sudden, there's a storm or something, other person, the car breaks down and they can't get to the airport, the person misses the flight, you know?
Right.
And that's how it works, really, at a huge level. The fact that we are affected by what's happening to other individuals, or when people project violence and aggression towards us directly, we get affected because there's something inside of us that hasn't been released yet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to me too. You know, it's like sometimes something will come through my lines and reach me. Yeah. And will affect me emotionally and energetically. But when that happens, I can immediately look and see. I never indulge, I never go down that line, I never go into that. I might do, you know, even if it's like an hour or two, I will sometimes go there, get sucked in, you know. Especially if I'm tired or haven't eaten, or especially if I haven't drunk enough water.
Oh, right.
And yeah, that's really important, really be hydrated all the time. And then I find myself, but as soon as I see myself, the longer I've stuck in there, I find the longer it takes for me to process through it.
Yep.
So,
right.
Yeah, I have to be really diligent and not take it personally.
Right.
Yeah. And also, every time I see wars and all the manipulation of the media and the chemtrails, I fall into this knowing, I know that the will of the human collective is being carried out. And I have so much faith in that. I have so much knowing that this is the right thing that's happening. There's nothing wrong happening at any time, at any moment on the planet.
Right,
that
right.
I'm filled with a type of energy or love, knowing that everything's as it should be. You know, like
right.
It's an acceptance of the present. And
right.
That really makes a huge difference, because I know it's temporary. All these things are tiny, really, really tiny, and very
right.
temporary.
Right. And then I've also been noticing of late that there are periods of time when all I can feel is, regardless of what is going on around me, that it feels as if everything is being given to me. So all I have is just an ongoing sense of gratitude and saying thank you.
Yes.
You know, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And when I do that, it seems to connect to the energies around me so much better when I'm in a state of gratitude.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's that also that childlike play energy, you know, of gratitude as well. That really, especially when there's something about Gaia. If you go into that mode, it really, really, you know, brings it forth, and she really supports us really, really powerfully. Like I was at, we did a retreat there last weekend, and in La Conner up in Washington State.
Oh,
and they were saying
nice.
It was going to be, yeah, they said it was going to be cold, it's going to be snowing, and we got there, it was raining, you know. And one of the other co-hosts and a friend of, and also one of the hub staff members of the Global Ascension Center, she said that she did kayaking, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've never done that. She says, well, I'll take you out. And I thought, yes, you know. And then she said, I'll take you out tomorrow. And she said, great. And I was telling everybody, I was so excited, right? People in the restaurant and in the hotel, in the street, you know, everybody who, oh, you know, I'm going kayaking tomorrow, I'm so excited. And everybody would react, even people online would react. Are you crazy? Have you seen the weather? It's going to be horrible. You're going to get soaked. It's going to be wet. It's going to be cold. I said, oh my goodness, you know, but I just wanted to. It was that very playful energy. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. And then the morning came and it was drizzly cold, one of those drizzles, not quite rain, but very wet and drizzly. And Marianne said, you know, I'm going to request for that drizzle to clear up. And I thought, yeah, let's do that. And then I looked out my window and I thought, what if we have, like, the skies clear up completely? And there was really thick clouds, right, black clouds.
Whoa.
So what if that all clears up and we have sun, you know, like blue skies and sunshine? And
yeah.
I said it out loud, and one of the people at the hotel, she said, you're not going to be seeing the sun anytime soon, for as long as the whole weekend is going to be in the snow. And one of the other guys says, oh, yeah, I saw the Weather Channel. They said it snows coming, you know, in an hour or something. And I thought, oh, okay, you know. And then I went back to my room. I swear to you, 10 minutes later, I looked out the window. The skies were blue.
Wow.
Completely blue. And
wow.
The sunshine was beautiful. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is wonderful. We went into the kayaking. We were out there in the water for, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours or something. Fabulous. And then, you know, we go back. We go back to where we left off from. And Marianne, being a professional, she went woof, 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 you know, like all these moves. And she sparked really nicely on the side, and she gets helped out of the kayak. And I'm looking at her, you know, holding on to my paddle things and going, oh, my gosh, I'll never be able to do that, you know. And as she was putting the kayak away with her husband, all of a sudden I started feeling the boat, the kayak being pulled this way and that way and shifted and moved. And and all of a sudden it was just parked exactly how it should be. I didn't have to move a finger, you know. And
wow.
It was right there, and I knew it was the water and the air and the sun elementals, Gaia, you know. They had parked me perfectly where I needed to be. I had moved a finger, and I felt so supported and loved. It was just this overwhelming feeling of love.
Oh yeah.
And then Marianne helps me out of the kayak, and she looks up and down at me, and she says, oh my goodness, you're completely dry. And I said, yeah, like, you know. And she says, that's crazy. She said, the first time I went kayaking, I was soaked. And then everybody else was saying, you know, oh, my gosh, you were completely dry. And I was like, that's impossible. And I thought, yeah, because I kind of had that image. You know, I wanted to stay warm and dry and, you know.
Right.
Yeah, we totally bring it in when we have that loving, beautifully powerful, playful energy.
Yeah.
And not expecting, but actually requesting in a really open heart manner.
Yes.
And Gaia and the elementals really respond beautifully, you know.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a beautiful story. And of course, synchronicity is another factor that comes in. And as you said, everything is happening exactly as it needs to.
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
I have to remember, that's one of the things that I am triggered to remember when my mind starts to go out into, you know, no-no land. I have to remember that, no, everything, literally everything, is happening exactly as it must.
Exactly,
and those things that seem to be the most disastrous or the most horrifying or the most disturbing are there for a reason, and they are to project, you know, propel one forward further into a certain direction. And so if you just allow and go with the flow, then the synchronicity increases also. And I've been having a lot of those lately where I'll have to run an errand and I have to go to a couple of different places, and then I'll bump into somebody I know at one place and have a really interesting conversation and learn something new, and then I go to the other place and bump into someone there. So I take all of these things as validations that I am always in the right place at the right time, whether I know it or not. And it's kind of like seeing the 1111, which so many people see, and then they have their personal numbers as well. But everything is in total synchronicity, so we don't really have to worry about anything.
Right, yeah. But the intention, I mean, behind it is ours, right?
Right.
We have to
be
very clear about the intention behind where we want to go.
Right.
And that's what manifests, definitely.
Right. So, now you did a workshop in Washington, or Oregon? Washington.
Yeah, No, it was in Washington State, in a little town called Laconia. Yeah, we did the first Global Ascension Center retreat. It was absolutely wonderful. And we had a virtual retreat that was joined by hundreds of people around the planet at the same time, which is fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So that was the first one. And you've been doing some work with our mutual friend Lucia Renee, yes?
Yeah, that's right. We're setting up an academy, and we talked about this in the Global Ascension Center radio show as well. The academy is going to be mainly for women, but men can also join as auditors. They can do the classes, and it's going to be once a month, a class especially for them, for everybody, right? Open to men and women. And I was actually looking just before we got on at the curriculum, and it's looking absolutely fantastic. We have a whole spectrum of women coming in to do the faculty members doing different talks and classes and series of classes as well, from beginners, more advanced, and then more mature and more advanced people in different things. We call them gardens. So we have a spiritual garden, a processing garden, we have a mystical garden. What else? Oh, I can't remember. But it's very exciting. It's very, very exciting. Oh, a career garden. Yeah, that's another one, the career garden. And so different things, how to, come in, and the energy of these different women coming in, and their courses are going to be lots of availability, so you can have downloadable versions, you can have just auditing versions, and you can have a version where you go in and do really practical stuff and join the forum and everything else as well. So it's really exciting. That's happening this year.
Well, that sounds wonderful. That's something that I'm sure everybody should be interested in.
Yeah, if you are interested, our website is still under construction, but you can actually join the newsletter there so that you can then be told when we launch. And the URL is awakenacademy.org. So if you go there, you can actually join the newsletter, and then we're doing all sorts of different classes. We even have a class, on child, bringing up children in a different paradigm, different type of energy. It's really
right,
cool.
Right. Well, that seems like a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I've given some thought about. There's so many areas that need to be addressed that have been unconscious up until now, and as each person in the collective processes its shadow side and moves out of denial and releases its attachments to the shadow, that's when we'll begin to see in the mirror around us the reflection of those internal shifts that everybody has been making.
Yes, absolutely. It's all about, it all begins inside of us, it all starts inside.
Yes. So what else is exciting or interesting that you have been involved with lately, or that you would like to talk about?
Oh, there's a couple of things. I'm writing a novel, which I hope to release this year. It's really cool. It's just coming through really powerfully. And it's one of those novels that I like to write that is partly based on personal experiences, other people's experiences, and also it's a transformational type energy model that gives people a lot of information that's being kept very secret and mystical at the moment, right? Mysteriously. kept as mystery, only in mystery schools and things. So it releases a lot of that information out into the public in a novel format. Yeah. So with characters, and all the characters are fictional, and it's going to be really, really cool. And then the other thing that's really exciting for me is that at the Global Ascension Center, we're starting a research department. And anybody who's interested, we haven't launched it yet. It's just something that I'm inviting people to write in if they're interested in taking part. And what we're going to have is areas where we want to do like global research of people doing little experiments at home, or actually go out and research for information and put it together in a format that we can all test out and see if it works. Mm. And I've already had these ideas about teleportation, obviously, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. the milder forms of biolocation, remote viewing, and also things, you know, that like life after death, and there was other things. Oh yes, art, the way in which we can, the whole methodology or the flow of how a piece of art comes through the higher dimensional art, right?
Mm-hmm.
That comes through a person, channels it. The person puts it down on paper or music or whatever it is that their medium is, and then how that piece of art then affects the person who brought it in, first of all, and then the room where the piece is hung or played, and what effect it has on the people that come into that room.
Ah.
So, yeah, I'm very, very, very excited about the research project at the Global Ascension Center. And also, one of the things that we've released this week, to raise funds to start the physical, to establish the physical Global Ascension Centers around the planet, which are going to be basically owned by the human collective, we've released a song. It's called You're That Angel. And you can find it at youarethatangel.com, and you can make a donation back to download it right there. And when you do that, you're basically becoming part of the co-creative force behind the Global Ascension Centers around the planet.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can go there, listen to 1 minute of the song, download it. The video is not ready yet, but it will be made available for free in the Internet and YouTube when it's ready. And then you would be able to listen to the entire song online so that it goes viral, because the song will raise a person's vibration and awareness. It doesn't matter if they don't like it, you know.
Right.
It will do it. It's a mystical
right.
tool. And, yeah, so it's really exciting, and it's one of those things that we're doing to raise funds for the Global Ascension Centers around the
wow.
planet, so it's really cool.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, it's exciting to hear this starting to, you know, gel, you know, all over, because I followed you since pretty much the beginning and seen all these seeds kind of planted and where they're going. And it's such a beautiful unfolding of this whole process that that we're all involved in. And, you know, I just can't thank you enough for being at the center of it. And, you know, and of course we're all at the center of it because everybody is
yeah.
the center. But
I just summon. I make the summons.
There you go. There you go.
I'm the summoner, and then individuals come forth and create it. It's absolutely wonderful, amazing. I'm an amazing process. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you have any leads presently on the Northern California locale? Are you still looking around in this area to see what kind of land might be available for the first center?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a year since we started looking, and there's so many locations. What I'm getting is that I've seen it. We've seen it, right? We've already
okay.
seen it, and we've already located it. It's just that we've
right.
seen hundreds of locations, and now we have right. to go back, right?
Right.
And have a look at all of them again to make
right,
sure,
right.
to see which one it was.
Right.
And hopefully we'll find it. It'll be good.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you have to have a water source.
Yes, a water source. Yeah, definitely. So for all the people who are listening now and in the future, what can you, what would you say in relation to those who are going through particular trials, like, oh, for instance, I have one friend who's losing her job, which she thought was going to be something that would take her into the new paradigm. I have another friend that's gotten ill and is having difficulty recovering, and there are so many people that are experiencing the the whoosh or the letdown of this new beginning that in 2013, what would you suggest for all the people that are listening to keep going and not to not allow the negative to bring your vibration down in the process of moving forward?
Mm-hmm. One of the things we can do is simply sit down for like 20 minutes and have a look inside of us with truthfully, like really intense truthfulness, and see, am I embodying what I want to see on the planet? Am I the change I want to see here, right? Am I really working from a place where every thought, every emotion, everything that I say or write, the clothes that I wear, every type of communication I have with myself, with my physical body, and with everybody else out there, is all of that, the intention behind it, is it fifth dimensional, right? Is mm-hmm. it of a high vibration? Mm-hmm. Because everything we do and every time we communicate, it has a very, very specific vibrational intention behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
With this all, we never say anything at all that doesn't have an intention behind it. We don't wear anything, we don't do anything, we don't think anything, and we don't express anything in any form or way which does not have an intention behind it. Mm-hmm. So becoming aware and really looking down, and spend at least 20 minutes looking and being completely and utterly honest. Am I, everything that I am expressing through this physicality, through this dynamic expression of in singularity of a being that I am, is everything here fifth dimensional, or what I believe to be a fifth dimensional reality? Am I mm-hmm. really doing it every second of every day? And if mm-hmm. not, don't beat yourself up about it, right?
Right.
If
right.
it's not happening, just have the primary intention of, okay, from now on, I want to become 100% aware of my intention behind every word, and also that I'm going to be completely... sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
Oh.
Because somebody just walked past in front of me. But basically, having that complete awareness and consciousness that this is our intention, right? And
right.
if we do fall down, if we do, because you know, we all do, we're still being, basically the human collective is still in a very thick drama right now, so it's kind of hard staying in that vibration all the time. So when we get sat down, there's two things we can do. Immediately process what's happening. As soon as we catch it, right? As soon as we realize we've fallen in there, process it. Don't get seduced into it.
Right.
And then once we move out of that time space, go sit down for about 20 minutes and go back through the situation and play it out how you would have preferred to have responded,
right?
Rather than reacted.
Right.
And those two little things really, really help quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Right. That's the basically rewriting the past.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you're rewriting.
And, you know, that's our programs. Our programs are basically that. We're basically training ourselves to respond differently to life in general, to other individuals, to the universe, and to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're reprogramming ourselves when we go back and reinvent the situation to how we would have preferred to have been at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, then that sets you up to make that correction the next time that situation arises.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I use that technique a lot with situations that are involving interactions with people that I feel that I didn't interact in a way that I could have been more empowered. And so
mm-hmm.
what I'll do is I'll play through, like you said, I'll play through what I would say in the next situation. And so knowing that the situation might rise again, and sure enough.
That's a great method too. Yeah,
yeah,
that's basically
they recur,
the same method.
And then I've got I've got the words, I've got the power behind it, I have the intent, and it immediately corrects the situation that I had gave a few moments to thinking about.
Yeah, and it's not just with other people, you know, it's also with us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if we've had a really rough day, like a really bad one, and we can sit down for 20 minutes and say, okay, how would I have preferred it today to have gone, you know?
Right.
I would have liked to have woken up really happy and looking forward to the day. I would have preferred to have had a great breakfast and have lots of water, I would have preferred to look after my body today, you know, stuff like that, you know?
Yes, I think that's one that I probably should have done today. I'll have to do that one myself.
Yeah, you can. I mean, we're still today, right?
Yeah.
Your tour is behind me, so you still have loads of time. You know, I think I'll do it too, because there was a situation today that I wasn't very happy with myself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go back and review it and replay it and reprogram that one.
Ah, yeah. Good.
Yeah, totally.
And, of course, with the water, as you know, and probably many people that listen know, I drink mainly very pure water, either reverse osmosis or distilled water. And you're in a particular location where you probably should be drinking distilled water, purified water.
Yeah, and there's none. I looked here, and they don't sell it. You know. Yeah.
And don't drink the ice.
I know. I'm stuck with purified water at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is the reverse osmosis.
Oh, good, so. Good.
Yeah.
Good. But in any case, I'm sure that you can set your intention to cleanse the water, regardless of source. So. So let's see now. You're coming back to California in a little while. You'll be back here soon?
I'll be back on February, end of February.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be down there for a while.
Yeah, I'm moving after Mexico. I'm going down to Ecuador for a few weeks.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, I wish I could travel to the same places, but...
Oh, my gosh, it's a long journey. That's why we have to really work on this research for the teleportation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm serious. I'm totally 100% serious. I know it can be done because I've done it. As a teenager, I did teleport once that I can recall, right?
So
I know it's doable. It's just that I don't know how to replicate it, and I don't know how to teach others how to replicate it. So that's what we need to do. We just need to learn how to replicate it. That's it.
Exactly. And I think that might have something to do with our changing our frequency. I had one instance when I was in San Francisco when I did I personally didn't teleport, but I moved a briefcase, which was in the back seat of the car, to the front seat using thought. And what happened was I was getting into the car, and I imagined the effort it would take to twist my body around, reach back, grab it, toss it over the seat, and then drop it on the front seat. And I heard a whooshing sound, and it was right there. It
had moved. Cool.
And yeah. I've never been able to do that again, but I know it can be done, and there are many people on the internet that are talking about teleportation without using the advanced technologies that some of the companies that are holding advanced technologies are developing.
Right. Yeah, we don't need technology.
We don't need that. We don't need nuts and bolts. We need the energy is here. It's been done for thousands of years. It's been carved in stone, and it's been talked about. So we know it can be done. And so, this is the time when I think that we can work towards developing our telepathic skills and our communications with each other and with Gaia and the elementals and so on and so forth, like you said, because they're here to help us. And it's just such a thrill when you are in that flow and you feel the flow of the energies around you and that you know that you're being supported.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
And I love the energy of Mexico. It's one of my all-time favorite places.
You lived here, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was a little tiny village in Loma de Monterrey, south of one of the large cities. I can't remember which one. Anyway, it was south of a big city, and about 20 miles outside. And there, all of the little houses, none of them had floors. It was all dirt floors. Mm-hmm. And a friend of my mother's had built a house down there, and the people were just wonderful. They were probably the nicest kids and people, adults, that I have ever met in my life. Just the sweetest, purest, most beautiful souls that I've ever met. And I know that, you know, we don't need high technology to be beautiful people.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so beautiful people can exist without jets and, the latest fashions and $10 million in their checking account.
Right.
I'm not saying that they're not beautiful people, too, but, you know.
it's not dependent on how much we have, right?
Right.
Happiness comes from the inside out. It's not something that's outside in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we have a few minutes left. What are you going to do? What are you going to do there during the this weekend? Are you going to go out and? Have you been visiting any of the restaurants or with your family?
Yeah, we're going to. Basically, it's a celebration of the family. The grandparents have brought all the children over, and they had a family a location here, a holiday one, and that's going away this year. So it's for the last year. They invited us actually about 5 years ago, so we all had to book our week for this year. Mm-hmm. And they're really spoiling us and looking after us. It's actually quite beautiful, you know. It's really nice to just be looked after and see that they express all this for their children. It's really wonderful because, you know, my mother passed away in 1995. And my father has never really been a part of my life, really. Not since I was like 7 years old. He disappeared from my life, and I don't really know him very much at all. I spent a little time with him as an adult, and then, you know, that broke down, and we don't have any communication, which is, you know, for me, I don't really have any thoughts behind it, but so I don't really have parents myself, right?
Right.
And my children, of course, the only grandparents they have is my husband's family. So it's really nice to be able to enjoy them so deeply and so lovingly in these situations because, you know, I don't know how long they're going to be here or any of us are going to be here, right?
It's
beautiful. It's really enjoyable to spend time with such beautiful, loving grandparents and... Yeah,
oh, I love that.
Really
I love that. I adored my grandparents, and you know, I think that's really what this period of time will bring to us. I think we're going to learn in a more intense way the value of love, that love is the unified field. And
right.
That we're in a state of love, we are in the higher dimensions.
Absolutely, yeah.
That is what they're about. You know, if we're
right.
in a state of anger and negativity, well, we can pretty much know that we're not there.
Exactly. It's like, you don't need anger or negativity to experience love, you know?
Right, right. In fact, they hold it back. And
They do, yeah. That's
they
all they do, really. I mean, people say, oh, but you wouldn't know it's there because of the contracts. No, not really.
Nope.
Light exists without darkness. I mean, that's what light is. It's the lack of darkness is called light.
right.
Yeah.
And the darkness is just a shadow that changes size, and it can be very small.
Right, So, it's absolutely. So, for the next week, if, you know, find something, a situation, your pet, a book, something that you love, you know,
mm-hmm.
and really, really enjoy it. connect with Gaia. Gosh, yeah, Gaia.
Right. Well, it's been a little cold outside, but Gaia is working with me. She's adjusting the temperature so I can get out a bit more.
Oh, nice. Yeah. She did that for me today. I felt a little bit guilty about all the other holidaymakers. Because I'm not very good with the sun, and it was burning, and I thought,
right.
It was a little bit more overcast, and boom, all the clouds came, and I was able to come out.
And
it was lovely, you know?
It's a beautiful area you're in, so...
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're recharging and enjoying and just being full of love and light and support for, you know, just who you are, just, you know, just for you, being you.
Yes.
So if there's anything you want to share at the last minute or so, go ahead and make sure that we all hear your website and where we can find you. And then we'll segue on into our whatever's next.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another retreat that I did a few weeks, a couple of months ago, I think it was. I can't remember now. But Gaia brought us in, came through with a beautiful gift. She's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gift. It's at ascension101.com. If you go to the Tools tab, you click on Tools and you go down, it's a exercise, it's a Gaia exercise. And you can download the MP3 and listen to it on your MP3 player, either in a park or at home, somewhere warm.
Right.
And also there's a video, so you can see the entire video if you prefer that. And do it. Do it today or do it tomorrow. It's absolutely wonderful, and that's a gift from Gaia. It's really, really wonderful to listen to and just go into it. An exercise is a visual exercise that she takes us on a trip, on a journey, and it's really wonderful. If you feel a little bit disconnected right now, or even if you just want to spend more time with her, just go there and do that exercise. It's really wonderful.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well,
thank you for inviting me. You're so awesome.
Oh, you are too. You are too. You know how much I love you.
Oh, you know how much I love you too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, we'll be in touch, and enjoy the rest of your trip, and I am so happy that we got a chance to connect tonight. The line was perfectly clear, so this is destiny.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of your evening, and thanks for joining us again tonight. And I know we'll be talking to you again soon.
Awesome.
And I'll be talking to Cornelia, your friend Cornelia, in a couple of weeks. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to that.
I love it. All right. Thanks again, Anelia.
Thank you.